Chapter 24. Faces, voices, something covering my mouth, then the sensation of movement, more faces and voices, lights shining in my eyes, then more sleep. When I finally opened my eyes for good, I saw Chief Roy Maven of the Sault Ste. Marie Police looking down at me, so I knew I wasn't in heaven. "Where am I?" I said. I was leaning back at a 45-degree angle. My chest and left shoulder were wrapped in bandages, and there was a tube coming out of my side with blood draining through it. There was an IV drip in my left arm. I tried flexing the arm. It hurt like hell, but it moved.
"You're in the hospital," he said, "in Hancock."
"Your daughter?"
"She's fine. She'll be just fine, don't worry."
"You should be down there with her."
"I'll go back down today," he said. "I just wanted to see what happened to you."
"What did happen to me?"
"A single .45 caliber slug through the upper lobe of the left lung. The doctor saw entry and exit wounds, but then they took an X-ray."
"Oh, don't tell me."
"For a minute they thought a fragment might have stopped near your heart," he said. "They didn't know this wasn't the first time for you. The agents gave me a call and I told them about your previous history."
"I'll have to stop getting shot in the chest. It's going to catch up with me one of these days." He smiled at that, just a little bit, but it was the first smile I'd seen from him since this whole business started.
"I should be dead," I said.
He had me lined up straight in the chest, point-blank range.
"Good thing he's a bad shot."
No, he still had his homemade suppressor on the barrel. That must have knuckleballed the shot.
"I guess he didn't take it off yet," Maven said, "because he was saving it to use on me."
I looked at him. "Yeah, that may have been the general plan." Maven stepped closer.
"It was the exact plan, Alex. The bullet that went through your chest was the bullet he was going to use to kill me."
I lay there and looked up at him. I wasn't sure what else to say.
"They found Sean Wiley in the cottage," he said. "He'd been shot in the chest, too."
I closed my eyes.
"They can increase your medicine if you want them to," he said. "Just say the word."
"I'm okay. Where are the agents, anyway?"
"They were here a while ago. They'll be back."
"How long have I been out?"
8 hours, give or take."
"Feels like longer," I said. "Hey, there's a young woman down in Bad Axe, Sean's girlfriend. She was waiting to hear from him."
"I believe some state officers went out there. Don't worry."
"I promised her I'd find him, Chief."
"You did, Alex. You found him."
"Come on.
You did everything you could have done."
"I don't know about that," I said. "But I'm glad your daughter's okay. That's the one thing that went right."
"No. The other thing that went right is that the agents had everybody out looking for you. One of them spotted your truck from the road."
"I'll thank them when I see them." He nodded his head. He looked like he wanted to say something else, but couldn't find the words. "What is it, Chief?"
"I still don't understand how I got put on this guy's list," he said. "It's driving me crazy. Did he happen to tell you why?"
"He didn't mention you specifically, although he did say one thing."
"What was it?"
I tried to replay everything in my mind. I felt dizzy right about then, and had to take a moment to breathe.
"Take it easy, McKnight. You don't have to do this right now."
"No, I have to remember. It was strange, because it was like he was just making a movie about everything, like I was just an actor, and none of it was real."
"Okay. Very strange, yes."
"At one point, he asked me if I had ever played a state police officer. Then he asked me if I had ever taken an innocent person off to jail." I kept going over it, moment by moment, the pain in my shoulder starting to radiate across my chest.
"I'm getting a doctor," Maven said. "I'll be right back."
"No, wait." I reached out and grabbed him with my right hand. "He asked me if I had ever taken a kid who was trying to climb out of hell and threw him back in."
"A kid? Like how old?"
"He didn't say that, but when Wiley was arrested, Bergman must have been around 12 years old.
"A 12-year-old kid thrown back into hell? What could he have been talking about? I don't see how that could have had anything to do with me, I swear."
"I believe you."
But this must be based on something.
I don't know, Chief.
The doctor came in to examine me. I was ready to hear the whole story about the X-ray and the bullet, and if the doctor had a sense of humor, how I should try to get shot in another body part next time. Maven got shooed out of the room, but I could see he was still working it over in his mind. 1 minute later, he came charging back into the room.
The governor's daughter!
You're gonna have to leave, sir, the doctor said.
The governor's whole family was on Mackinac Island,
Maven said, waving off the doctor.
There's a summer residence up there for the governor, and the governor's daughter had this horse show she was supposed to go to. The rest of the family would come down the next day, but on that day, they told me and Raz to run up there and pick her up and bring her back down to Lansing. That was the admin on our daily logs. But there were thunderstorms all over the area, so we knew the horse show would probably be canceled, and we kept telling them that. This is a waste of time. You want us to drive all the way up there to bring the governor's daughter down here for nothing? Not to mention that's a total waste to begin with. A sergeant and a trooper driving 400 miles round trip so a teenager can ride a horse around some barrels.
I was mesmerized now, and I think the doctor was too. I sat there on the bed, and he stood there with the blood pressure cuff around my good arm, and we watched Maven go.
I think we took one of the unmarks. That part I don't remember for sure, but I do remember both of us riding all the way up there while the black clouds are building up and the thunder's starting to roll in. And we're on the radio saying, hey, this is stupid, guys. But nobody wanted to actually go bother the governor to get the official word. So we get all the way up there and we go to Mackinac City to catch the ferry. That's why St. Ignace wasn't registering, because if you come from the south, you go out of Mackinac City, right? Anyway. We get on the ferry, and now we've got to sit on that stupid boat like a couple of tourists and ride all the way out there, and then when we get there, there's one of the regulars from the governor's attachment, and he says, sorry, guys, change of plans, no horse show after all. Except we can tell he's busting a gut trying so hard not to laugh. So we get right back on the boat and go back to the lot and get back in our cars, and now we've got to drive all the way back to Lansing for nothing. No horse show, no daughter in the car, just a couple of idiots who obviously picked the wrong career. That part I remember now, because I think that might be the exact day I decided it was time for a change.
But if you took the ferry from Mackinac City, how did you ever get up to St. Ignace?
That's the part that comes later. That's the part I forgot, because I wasn't even thinking about picking up some kid. I was trying to remember actually arresting somebody, remember?
So, what are you saying? You were the guys who picked up Bergman? He let out a sigh of exasperation.
Maybe. I mean, we picked up some kid on I-75, okay? We're driving back and we get a few miles and there's this kid hitchhiking right on the expressway. We pull over and we pick him up.
Wait, he was alone? He squinted for a moment and he thought back on it.
Yeah. It was really strange. He hopped in the back of the car like it was nothing. And he starts talking about nothing, I don't know, but then he realized we were cops. So I guess we must have been in the unmarked. But anyway, he gets real quiet then, and he doesn't say one single word again. So we call in, and they tell us to turn around and take him to St. Ignace.
That's it? That's all they said?
The kid wouldn't give us his name or anything. We kept trying to talk to him. But he was just totally silent, so we had to call him in as young John Doe, and they said, oh yeah, we think we know who that is. Bring him up to St. Ignace. I don't think we ever found out why they wanted us to bring him all the way up over the bridge at that point. We probably didn't even care anymore. We just took him up and dropped him off, and
you used the bathroom.
We used the bathroom, naturally. It's a long trip. Got back in the car. We must not have stuck around to find out who the kid is or how we ended up on the expressway. At that point, we had a long ride back and we were both pretty fed up with everything. We just got back in the car and went back to Lansing.
But that would have been logged, right? Picking up the kid, it would be in your daily records.
Well,
he closed his eyes and rubbed his forehead.
Maybe, maybe not. A day like that, that's the kind of day you might not even bother, you know? We didn't really do anything. We just went on this stupid errand, and then we brought the car back, and then we probably just went out and had a drink and bitched about the job. I think making sure all the paperwork was squared away was probably pretty low on our list of priorities. That wasn't the only time it ever happened, believe me.
Wiley was trying to help them get away, I said. He went up there and worked over his son-in-law, and the daughter and grandson were supposed to leave. They must have gotten separated from each other somehow.
Wiley was helping them escape, Maven said. My God. The kid made it all the way to the Lower Peninsula, and we brought him right back. Just like he said, we dragged him back to hell.
You had no way of knowing. You didn't do anything wrong.
Tell that to the kid going back to hell.
You don't have to feel guilty, Chief. You or especially any of those other men and their families.
Okay,
the doctor finally said. Can we get back to treating your bullet wound now? Maven stood there for one more awkward moment, maybe trying to work it out, have it make sense, say something else about it, or God knows what. But the doctor went back to taking my blood pressure, and Maven left the room. The agent showed up later that day, or at least they showed up for the first time since I was conscious. I'm getting the regular parade, I said. It's like the end of the Wizard of Oz.
Which one am I? Agent Long said. The Scarecrow?
No, they were back to regular humans when Dorothy woke up, remember? Either way, I believe I owe you both a big thank you.
Going up there by yourself was probably not a great idea,
Agent Fleury said.
Well, it seemed like the thing to do at the time.
I'm serious,
Fleury said, stepping a little closer to me.
It was reckless and stupid, but you sure as hell paid for it.
He knows he's an idiot, Agent Long said. Give him a break. He kept staring me down, and I couldn't help but wonder if he was picturing a golden opportunity to take down Bergman himself going down the tubes. But then he surprised me.
He filmed the whole thing, he said. You getting shot, trying to make your way back to your truck. The whole thing.
I know.
We watched it. The film was a little wet, but we were able to get it developed.
Already?
It doesn't take long.
So, how was my performance? He looked at me and shook his head.
I've never seen anything like it, Alex. I don't know how many men would have survived.
No, I think Agent Long summed it up best. I'm just an idiot. He put out his right hand. I shook it.
Time to get some more rest, Agent Long said.
Agent Fleury left first. She stuck around for another few seconds, just long enough to touch her hand to my face. She shook her head at me. Then she was gone. Vinny came out once to see me, bearing greetings from Jackie, along with a single bottle of Molson. Leon and Eleanor drove all the way out there, too. As soon as Eleanor saw me sitting there in that hospital bed, I could tell she felt terrible for me. I could also tell she felt vindicated in her belief that only men who are both single and mentally unstable should ever consider doing PI work. I knew Leon would be hearing about it all the way back home. The doctor told me I was doing well. The wounds were healing, and there were no signs of infection. He removed the tube from my side and let me actually get out of bed to use the bathroom. On the fourth day, Agent Long came back into my room. This time she was alone.
Where have you been? I was starting to worry about you.
I'm here to take you home.
Thanks, but I have my truck. They brought it down here for me.
Yeah, and you can't drive it yet, so my partner dropped me off here. I'll take you to Paradise, and then he can pick me up there. Then we'll go back to Detroit.
You don't have to drive me. I'm serious. I'll be fine.
Too late. He's already gone, so I'll need to ride with you anyway. We can talk about the case on the way.
Sounds like I don't have a choice.
No, she said. As a matter of fact, you don't.
The sun was shining in our eyes as she drove us to Paradise. It made my head hurt. More than anything, it felt strange to be sitting in the passenger seat.
Are you okay?
I'll be all right.
It's okay to not be all right sometimes, she said. You don't have to be such a man about it.
Sounds like you've been around some men in your time.
Only every working minute of every day.
What about when you get off work?
She thought about that one for a minute.
I've given up a lot to stay in this job, she said. Let's just leave it at that.
We rode on in silence for a while.
I assume Maven talked to you, I finally said.
About what he finally remembered, yes. You know who else I talked to?
Who?
A woman named Margaret Steele. I believe you met her.
Sergeant Steele's wife, yeah, we met her all right. How's she doing now?
Good as can be expected. She appreciates all the help you tried to give her.
All we did was ask painful questions about her son and then find her dead husband in his girlfriend's house.
Well, believe it or not, Agent Long said, she actually remembers Bobby Bergman. I guess her husband talked about him quite a bit.
Really?
That day, Wiley was arrested. Apparently, he came all the way out from California and stuck a gun in Daryl Bergman's ear. He told his daughter and his grandson to take the truck and to get the hell out of there.
So he really was trying to save them.
In his own way, yes. But here's where it gets a little weird. After Wiley was done having his little man-to-man chat with his son-in-law, he left and tried to catch up with the truck. Bergman called the police, and that's how Wiley got flagged at the bridge. You know what happened next, but somewhere down the road, his daughter ended up parked at a rest stop. I guess she was waiting for her father, or, I don't know, either she lost her nerve, or else it sounds like she was high most of the time. Probably that day, too. It kind of ran in the family. Either way, they found her passed out in the truck a few hours later. Young Bobby was gone.
What, you mean he tried to keep going on his own?
Who knows what he was thinking? Maybe he was planning on hitchhiking all the way to California. Living with his grandfather must have seemed like a much better deal for him.
Damn, I said. So that's when Maven and Rasnewski picked him up. They called in and drove him back to St. Ignace. Steele and Haggerty drove him back home that night. Mrs. Steele remembers all this.
Her husband kept going back, even after Haggerty transferred to Marquette. Steele would stop in every few weeks to see how the kid was doing. He tried to get family services involved, but I guess nothing ever came of it.
This is the cop who tried to help him, you're saying. And years later, this is how he gets repaid.
Obviously, young Mr. Bergman saw things a little differently.
So I get how he'd remember Steele's name, I said, especially if he kept coming by. But what about the other three? He gets picked up, driven back part of the way, then driven back home in another car. How does he remember all four names?
If he's a smart enough kid, and it means enough to him, he remembers. And if he remembers, he can go back and find them later if he really wants to.
You're right about that, I said, thinking about how much information Leon was able to find on the internet in a matter of seconds.
But it was all about him, she said. That's the thing. This kid trying to escape and getting taken back, the whole business with his grandfather, that was secondary. That's why we never saw the connection with Rasnewski and Maven. They had nothing to do with the arrest, but everything to do with what happened to Bobby Bergman.
So what about that list I found at Wiley's house? Where did it come from?
It was just three names, right? Steele, Haggerty, and Rasnewski. No Maven.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I did. About a minute later, I let out a long breath and banged my good hand on the glass beside me.
The agent who came out to question him, I said. He told them those names. Wiley didn't know anything about it until then. I'm not sure if he told him the specific names or not, but it doesn't even matter. If he just said there's been some former state police officers killed up north, Wiley could have found out the names on his own. It's not like they were secret.
You're right. Just search through the newspapers up here for the last few months. He's writing the names down. They start to look familiar, Steele and Haggerty at least. So then he looks through his old court records and makes the connection. He knows his grandson is still up here. So he starts thinking what the hell's going on. Maybe he even calls him.
Maybe.
Either way, he ends up down in his basement. That's when he sees exactly what his grandson's been working on.
What about the fire? I said. Do you think Bergman set it to kill his father?
I don't know. Although it's kind of funny how that fire happened right as he was going away to college, she said. And if you think about it, that kid sure had a gift for making crimes look like something else.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet against it.
We rode in silence for a while.
So that's how he dealt with his life, I said.
He turned it into a movie.
If it's a movie, it's not really happening.
God damn.
The scene with Olivia Maven got ruined, by the way.
Yeah?
The film was overexposed.
I think that was my fault, I said.
Too bad.
She looked over at me.
Your scene, on the other hand, came out just fine.
So you told me. Did you and Agent Fleury have popcorn while you were watching it? I'm glad you can joke about it. What else am I going to do? Another minute of silence.
I have it on my laptop, she said.
What?
That old film is fragile, so we made a digital copy. I can show you it if you want me to.
Are you serious?
It's up to you. You've earned the right to see it.
I don't know, I said. Let me think about it. It felt like I'd been gone a long time, even though it was only a matter of days. Most of the snow was gone now. She drove up my road, past Vinny's cabin, then past my first cabin.
What's the matter? She said.
Nothing.
Are you sure? You tensed up like you were in pain. Do you need your pills?
I'm fine, really. She shook her head, probably thinking I was just acting like a man again. I didn't want to get into the whole story with her. She went up to the end of my road and stopped in front of the last cabin. I got out and felt a little dizzy as I walked across the muddy ground of the front door. She grabbed her laptop bag from behind the seat and followed me. I held the door open for her. When she was inside, she stood around for a few moments, not looking entirely comfortable. Eventually, she took out her laptop and plugged it in.
You're the one who told me not to look at those crime scene photos, I said.
Yeah, but if you hadn't, he might still be out there killing people.
Well, I'll tell you what, I said, coming closer to her. I don't think I need to see the film of myself almost dying. I was there, and that's probably enough.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So, as long as you're here, what else can we do?
I stood there looking at her. Eventually, I took another step toward her and felt a little dizzy.
Alex, are you okay?
When I opened my eyes, Agent Long was right there in front of me, holding both arms.
Ouch,
I said. Watch the left side there.
I think you need to lie down.
No, I'm okay now, I promise. For real this time. Her hand was still on my arm, my good arm. As I looked at her face, I felt a huge relief. I was glad she was there with me. I was glad she looked so good in that moment. I was glad I had at least half a working body left. Then I laughed. It was hilarious to me that I was alive, that I managed to come through this, and that now I was here in my cabin with this woman.
What are we doing here? She said.
I pulled her close to me. She smelled good, better than good. This was the first woman I had touched since, well, since that thing that had happened in that first cabin. She wasn't resisting me. She was responding, and I was going to keep going, and then anything that happened after that, we'd have to figure out when we got there. Then I passed out.